The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. Welcome back to the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. I'm Ken Napsuk, and this is our special spotlight on Andre the Giant, a Wrestling Viewpoint Network minisode with Dan Farum. And we are going to take a look back at a man we lost in 1993, January 27th, 1993, Andre the Giant, perhaps the most known professional wrestler of all time. With apologies to George Hackenschmidt, Andre was the eighth wonder of the world. His fame superseded the ring and went definitely into pop culture, but that was kind of later in his career. So, in honor of the passing of Andre the Giant 22 years ago, Dan Farum is going to take a look at Andre the Giant.
Hi, this is Dan Farum, and welcome to a mini episode of the California Classic Wrestling Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the legacy of Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant started wrestling in France in the middle 1960s. He then moved over to Montreal and started working in Japan and other places internationally. What happened was Vince McMahon Sr. took over the booking for Andre in 1973, and he gave him the name Andre the Giant, and decided that maybe that Andre was being booked incorrectly. With a guy that size who's so overwhelmed opponents, it was best maybe to book him as a special attraction where he would come into a territory, stay there for a week or maybe 2 weeks, and then move on to a different territory so he didn't become stale. So Andre would come in, usually wrestle on TV and in some main event someplace, where he would take on two or three local mid-card heels. Oftentimes, one of those heels was Frank Valois, a very famous Canadian wrestler who actually worked as the handler of Andre, would travel around and make sure Andre got to all the places that he needed to go. The typical template of an Andre the Giant match back then was mostly comedy. Andre was the laughing, happy giant. He would stack guys up and sit on them, or he would crush them in the corner. Just your basic kind of special attraction match that was really, really popular in the 1970s. And luckily for those of us here in California, we got to see Andre quite a bit, either in San Francisco or Los Angeles, because he was very popular in Japan and in Mexico. So oftentimes he would stop in here and make an appearance on his way there. I believe Andre's first appearance in Los Angeles was for the Battle Royal show in January of 1974. He wrestled on the card against the masked Dr. Death, who was played by a veteran wrestler named Don Arnold. And Don Arnold had his tag team partner, Mr. Wrestling, who was portrayed by Gordon Nelson at ringside. And it was pretty much your standard Andre match. It was a really good, fun match. And this match, often what they would do is, whenever Andre was coming into a new territory, this was the match that they would send around on videotape to show on TV to say, hey, Andre the Giant's coming, and this is what he can do. Take a look at what he did to these two guys out in Los Angeles. In fact, a clip of that match was shown when Andre appeared on The Tonight Show in 1974. Actually, that match still, I think, can be found. I don't know if it's on the WWE Network, but it was on one of the earlier Andre the Giant videotapes, and it's well worth searching out if you can. Andre the Giant versus Dr. Death. Andre returned to Los Angeles for the Battle Royal in 1975, which he actually won, eliminating the Mighty Zulu. Andre stayed around for a couple weeks after that and made appearances all over the place. And actually, that was kind of the beginning of Andre's mainstream media push. He started to be noticed by Sports Illustrated. Like I said, he appeared on The Tonight Show. He wound up eventually appearing as Bigfoot on The $6 Million Man. He went out and did a bunch of photo shoots at Disneyland and in Hollywood Park, the racetrack, which wound up in what they referred to as the After magazines back in the 1970s. January 1975 was the first time that I saw Andre the Giant in person. I had gone to the San Bernardino Arena. He was appearing there for 2 weeks to see Andre and see the Battle Royal show, the local Battle Royal show that we had. When I walked into the lobby, there was Andre getting coffee for the boys in the dressing room, and I never forgot it. He had a styrofoam cup of coffee between each finger on his hand, so he was carrying like four cups of coffee back to the dressing room in one hand. And I got to tell you, if you never saw Andre up close in person, I know he wasn't really 7'4", but my God, he was just a brick wall. He was enormous. And I remember that night he won the Battle Royal and actually returned the next week to team up with Edouard Carpentier against Bobby Shane and Greg Valentine. I talked about that match on other podcasts. I won't go into it again, but it was a great match. Around the same time, he had a great match on KCOP TV where he teamed up once again with Carpentier and wrestled Greg Valentine and Pat Patterson. And this was a match that was on free TV back then. Around this time, they realized also that if Andre was going to stay around and be a popular attraction, they were going to need to kind of tweak how they were booking him. He couldn't keep wrestling job guys or in handicap matches. He was going to have to move up to bigger stars. And when you work with bigger stars who were staying in the territory, you didn't want to job them out and then have Andre leave and leave the local territory in shambles. So you had to do some very careful booking. So quite often what happened is Andre would be brought in to team up with the very popular local babyface against two of the guys that had been giving the babyface the most problems at that time. He had a great match, Andre did, with Black Gorman and the Great Goliath. Another match that I think wound up on one of the WWE DVDs, and is it was so popular that when they did the graphic novel of Andre, they actually included a little drawing, a little snippet of that. That's another match that you definitely want to take a look for. So it was not uncommon for, say, Andre to go up to San Francisco and team up with Pat Patterson against whoever was giving Patterson a hard time at that point. He wrestled pretty much every name in Southern California that was working in the 1970s here. He took on Roddy Piper. He took on John Tolis. He took on Keith Franks, who became Adrian Adonis. He teamed up with Chavo Guerrero and most of the Guerrero family at one point or another. At one point, he actually even challenged for the Americas title against the Big Cat Ernie Ladd. That was a very popular match. Andre and Ladd worked quite a bit all over the place, and they wrestled at the Olympic in the fall of 1974 to a no contest. In 1980, actually, Andre got a couple of shots at Harley Race and the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Most of those matches ended in draws or with a DQ victory for Andre. Andre won the 1977 San Francisco Battle Royal. He won the 1980 Los Angeles Battle Royal, also beating Victor Rivera by countout on that same show. I believe his last appearance in L.A. was in 1981 for the Battle Royal. He beat Professor Toro Tanaka on the undercard. In 1993, Andre returned to France for his father's funeral, and on somewhere in the night of January 27th, 1993, Andre passed away of an apparent heart attack in his sleep. When you look at it, that's been 22 years, and the name Andre the Giant is probably as well known today as it was, maybe even more so than back then. He's been the subject of books, of graphic novels. They do skits about him on Saturday Night Live. Everybody knows who Andre the Giant is, and that's pretty amazing when you think about wrestling, which oftentimes has a short shelf life, that 22 years after a person's death that he is still so readily identifiable. Of course, it doesn't hurt that movies like The Princess Bride has kind of cemented his legend. But here it is, 22 years after the death of Andre the Giant, and he's still one of the, if not maybe the most famous wrestler in history.
Thanks, Dan. That is a great look at Andre the Giant. 8 good minutes for the 8th wonder of the world 22 years ago. On January 27, 1993, we lost Andre the Giant. Certainly a staple of my childhood growing up, not only as a wrestling fan, but Princess Bride, man. That is one of my all-time favorite movies. And anybody want a peanut? Andre the Giant certainly made that. And all that knowledge Dan has, I've seen Dan work. Yeah, he researches his stuff. Yeah, he makes notes. But most of that just flows out of Dan's brain. He is a walking, talking encyclopedia of wrestling. I want you to, if you want to learn more and see what Dan and his friends have to share, I want you to check out not only some of the past episodes of the California Classic Wrestling Podcast here on the Wrestling Viewpoint Network, but go to their Facebook group and join California Classic Wrestling. You will learn some things. It is not a group to go and post flyers for your indie wrestling show at the gym this weekend. It is a page to go to learn about the great history of professional wrestling in California, going all the way back to the turn of the century up until the early 80s when the Olympic closed. We also have done some episodes here about the Grand Olympic Auditorium. We also did a podcast, the California Classic Wrestling Podcast. I believe it was episode 3. You can look it up on this feed here. And our special guest, Ryan Doyle, brother to the late Larry Doyle, he shared his memories of some California Classic Wrestling Battle Royals, and Andre, of course, competed in one of those in 80 and 81, and Doyle tells some great stories about cheering for Andre and seeing Andre in person. I wish I had the opportunity to see Andre the Giant in person at any point in his life, but particularly during the late 70s, early 80s phase. Wow, that's great. And for Dan, he said 75, he saw him first. I am jealous of that because that is Andre at his peak. If you want to learn more about Andre the Giant, here's something you can go to. Something I picked up there in 2014, and it's great. It is called Andre the Giant, Life and Legend. It is a graphic novel by Box Brown is the name of the author, the cartoonist and researcher. He was a big professional wrestling fan. And he put this graphic novel together. You can probably get it at your local comic shop or find it on Amazon. It is put out by First Second is the name of the publishing company does that. And again, Andre the Giant, Life and Legend, graphic novel. So it kind of might look like a comic book to some of you, but graphic novels, of course, are a different animal. And this tells a great story. It is just a bio of Andre the Giant. It's got some humor. It's got some heart to it. It's Andre's kind of a tragic character, and it goes into that. It starts in his childhood and works his way up. Covers a lot of stuff for those of you wrestling fans of the 80s. It does absolutely go into WrestleMania 3 and the stories behind that. It touches on everything, and it's really fun, and it shows a side to Andre that you kind of only hear about, though everything about Andre seems to be a bit of a legend, and not quite. You never know where the truth lies in those stories of Andre. Was he ever going to let Hulk Hogan win, or was he going to make him lose? We'll never know the true story of WrestleMania 3. But anyways, check that out. Andre the Giant, Life and Legend by Box Brown. It is a great graphic novel. So I hope you enjoyed your spotlight here on Andre the Giant, one of the greats of all time, one of the great characters in and out of wrestling, if you ask me. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WrestlingVN. You can follow me on Twitter at Ken Napsok, and Real Dan Farron is how you follow Dan and join the conversation with there. And again, seek out the California Classic Wrestling group and on Facebook, and maybe Dan will let you in. You can learn a lot about California wrestling, the history of California wrestling. So for Dan Farron, for the late Andre the Giant, I'm Ken Napsok. This has been the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.